Today on Shep, Shower, and Shave, we talk about the continuous influx of young players in the NBA, the demands of the NCAA on student-athletes, and how the NFL continues to get away with non-guaranteed contracts. We talk with super agent Mark Bartelstein. That's next on Shep, Shower, and Shave. Mark Bartelstein is the founder of Priority Sports and Entertainment, repping clients in the NBA like Gordon Hayward and Bradley Beal, and in the NFL with players like Haloti Ngata and Joe Staley, and former players like Kurt Warner and Arian Foster. He started his enterprise in 1995, continues to be among the best at what he does, and he joins us on our podcast today. Mark, we appreciate it. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How's everything going with you guys?
Oh, it's fantastic. Listen, in reviewing the numerous NBA mock drafts, it looks like the top 11 picks will be freshmen or 19-year-olds if you're looking at guys from out of the country. Just one junior, one senior in the entire first round. Is that good, bad, or indifferent for the NBA? Does it matter much, do you think?
Well, you know, there's different ways to look at it. I personally maybe am a little bit old school. I think that the development the kids go through in college, just not only physically, but emotionally, maturity-wise, adding more to their game, getting the responsibility level of having to carry a team as they spend, as they get into their sophomore, junior years of college, I think that's invaluable. You know, really to their long-term success if they want to be great NBA players. So it doesn't mean that there aren't young people that can step in after the freshman year and have a big impact. But I think in terms of their long-term growth, I think going through those experiences in college are invaluable. At the same time, you know, when you're presenting someone the opportunity to go make the kind of living that they can make as a lottery pick, the first-round pick, and they can provide for their family, it's hard to tell them, you know, to walk away from that opportunity. But what I try to explain to a lot of young people and their families is to, you know, always take a long-term view. Don't look at just the next year. Look at the next 12 years and what's going to set you up best to have, you know, to have long-term success.
Has it affected your business much? I mean, I always talk to coaches, Mark, and they talk about having to recruit at a, or go scout at a younger age. How about you in the sports management, sports agency business?
You know, you see in this year's draft, there's so many players that are, you know, the so-called one-and-done, guys who spent 1 year in school.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're in the business of representing NBA players. So it's certainly you have to turn your attention to those players, you know, at a younger age. But it doesn't alter my view. You know, I'm still going to give the same advice. I'm still going to try to help people make decisions that I think are in their in their best interest from a long-term perspective. But no question, there are, you know, players. Their dream is to get to the NBA. When the circumstances line up in a way that opportunity is presented to them, you know, early in their college career, and they've got family members they can look after and support. It's hard to turn those opportunities down. But again, I think the critical thing is to take a look at the big picture and make sure you're doing what's best for the long haul.
Have you ever been involved in a situation with a possible client where you've actually heard or had to suggest go back to school, don't take the route of riches right away?
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, we've had a number of players that we've advised from that perspective, and, you know, quite often they've listened, and I think they have prospered from the decision. So, you know, every year, you know, when you get into the spring, there are so many players that have to go through this decision process. And it's a very tough call, you know, because you need a crystal ball to often make the perfect decision. None of us have that. But I think you make sure that they can look in the mirror and be honest with themselves about kind of where they are in their development and, you know, what another year of college would bring to them versus going to the NBA. You're looking for some players, leaving early and going to the NBA is absolutely the right thing to do, and they benefit tremendously from it, and it works out terrifically well. And for some kids, an extra year or two of college is what really provides life lessons and their games develop in a way that sets them up for great success in the NBA when they go to the NBA. So every player is different. There's no set, you know, kind of cookie-cutter approach to it to say, this is the way it has to be done. Each player and family has a unique set of circumstances, and you sit down with them and you try to help them understand everything that goes into the decision and the weigh the pros and cons of the two alternatives and then make a decision that is best for them.
I think you're in a unique position because your son was the captain of a Division I team at the University of Michigan. You deal with these kids on a regular basis. What's the biggest issue facing college athletics in your mind?
Wow, you know, it's changing so fast, and you know, there's so many topics kind of that are up for discussion year in and year out. I think that, you know, obviously it's become the money that's involved. I mean, college sports, make no mistake about it. It is professional sports for everyone except for the student athletes. For everybody else, there is a tremendous amount of money involved. It's their profession. It drives revenue at the universities. And so I think that there's certainly been a lot said and directed towards the athletes getting their share of all of those revenues that are coming in. And I think that, you know, we're moving more and more in that direction. They're still, you know, obviously not getting what they're participating in is very small at this point. But I think that, you know, there's the revenue that's being generated it's a high major program. It's incredible, and the competition for the talent, so you continue to drive that revenue, is very intense. And I think you're just seeing it's playing out in so many ways. Look what's happening with the transfer rules.
Yeah,
fifth year seniors. You know, college sports has become incredibly transaction oriented. It is big business. The rosters are very transaction-oriented. The coaches understand they got to win immediately, you know, to keep their job. And they're focused on building their rosters year after year so they can put themselves in a competitive position. And so, it, you know, make no mistake about it, college sports is big-time business.
Mark Bartelstein is the founder of Priority Sports and Entertainment. He's with us here on Shep Shower and Shave podcast. A recent time demand study conducted by the NCAA focused on reducing the number of hours athletes can spend on their sport during the week, 20 hours during the week. Because of your unique perspective with your son involved in that type of situation, do you believe the 20 hours is enough, too much, or do you think it needs to be altered even more?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. So when Josh first showed up in Michigan, and I remember, you know, first semester, freshman year, he was overwhelmed to a degree, you know, because the entire day was just taken up, you know, with everything that would go on. And so it's a big adjustment for a kid coming from high school to college and getting their feet wet. But also you have to understand that's what these kids love to do. They want to be in the gym. They want to be with the coaches. They want to be studying film. They want to be getting better. You know, for so many of them, their dream is to get to the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball. And so they want to have the opportunity to hone their craft. So I don't think the amount of hours, the players would like to be able to get in the gym more. They want to work with their coaches. They want to, like I said, they want to improve their skill level. So I think putting a limit on the hours actually will force more kids to want to leave school because they want to be able to get better and better. If they can't do it on a college campus, then they're going to go try and do it as a professional. I think what has to happen though is, there's that's one of the reasons why I do think that sometimes kids don't realize how great a time college is. Because after Josh got through his freshman year, and he got himself adjusted to the lifestyle and the demands of being playing at a program like Michigan, I mean, he loved every minute of it. You know, he couldn't get enough of it. You adjust, and that's why I think so often when you see kids, they go to school and, you know, by the time they get the second semester of freshman year, they're already kind of mentally checked out that they're leaving, you know, to go to, you know, in the case of, you know, college basketball players to the NBA. They don't even know what college is all about yet. You know, they're just getting their feet underneath them. And once you get through that freshman year and you know your way around campus, I think there's so much to experience as a college student that a lot of kids miss out on. Limiting the hours that they can spend with their coaches, I think it's a big mistake. I think that drives kids off of campus.
Did you have an issue with Jim Harbaugh taking his team to Rome and in the future taking his team in other places that might allow some students that your son Josh did not get the opportunity to study abroad? because of their athletic commitment.
Oh, I think doing those things, that's all part of it. That's part of the great experience of going to a place, you know, like a Michigan or any of these schools that they have experiences like that. You know, Josh's sophomore, they went in the summer and they went to France and Belgium and played, spent I think two or three weeks, you know, played about 6 or 7 games.
Right.
Inside Europe, Coach Beilein created a tremendous cultural trip for them, where they saw so many things that these kids may never see again. Those experiences are outstanding. That's what college is all about. And, you know, there are a lot of kids who get to go study abroad, you know, their junior year. My daughter just did that. And for college athletes to get the opportunity to get a taste of that, I think it's spectacular.
Sports management professionals face a number of different ethical issues. What's the most pressing issue for you and the men and women in your field right now, do you think?
Oh, you know, I think the thing, you know, always kind of jumps up at all times is the recruiting. You know, it's you know, often not a level playing field, and there's all kinds of things that are going on out there, sort of in the dark market, and those are things that you know, we have to deal with. You know, it's a very competitive business, and so you always, in the back of your mind, you're wondering what's going on from an ethical perspective in terms of it, what's being offered and what's being said and what's being promised, and the kids that are coming out that maybe, you know, don't have the sophistication yet, have never gone through this, the families have never gone through it, and don't understand everything that goes into making a decision, you know, in terms of their representation. So that, you know, that's always a big issue that's kind of hanging over the business.
Yeah.
Probably will never go away.
Does it bother pros like you who've spent your entire professional life in this field when those from the outside the profession kind of dip their toe into the water, people who are a little bit more celebratory and get the opportunity to quickly pounce and represent some athletes?
Well, listen, I never fault anyone for trying to go into something they love to do and something where they think they can provide value and great service. You just want it to be done, you know, for the right reason, and it should always be about what, you know, in the best interest of the people you're representing. And so, there's life's all about competition. You never mind competition. You just want it to be done on a level playing field. That's the biggest thing.
We've seen guys like Rob Pelinka recently, Arne Tellem recently move into front office of NBA teams, Lakers and Pistons respectively. Has Mark Bartlestein of Priority Sports and Entertainment ever entertained that thought?
You know, it's been flattering. It's been brought up to me a number of occasions by different organizations. But you know what? I love what I do. We have a great team of people that I work with. We have a lot of fun with it every day. There's a great sort of camaraderie and cohesiveness in our office. And we love serving our clients. There's nothing, the beauty, that the most fulfilling part of our business is that we get to really have a monumental effect on people's lives and to help them, you know, reach their dreams and goals and things they've dreamed about since they were little kids, and they kind of put that responsibility on your shoulder. And when you can see those things come to fruition, it's very, very rewarding. So it's, you know, it's something that I thought about on occasion. It feels like I've been, you know, lucky enough that some people bring some concepts to me, but we love what we're doing, and this is what I do, and I don't see that change.
You said recently that the day-to-day management of our clients' careers has become more of a moment-to-moment evolution, that has become more of a challenge for people in your industry. How is that?
Well, I just think everything happens so quickly now that, you know, with what's happened with social media and the internet, and just the information flow is instantaneous. It's nonstop. There's always something happening. There's always a transaction being talked about. There's something happening in a player's career. There's ways, things that you can do to help somebody build their career. And so it's just constant. The day never slows down. The week never slows down. It's pretty much 24 hours a day. So I think just the information flow of everything happening in the business, it just keeps you on. There's not a lot of time to breathe. Just kind of move from one moment to another.
How much do athletes and agents concern themselves with escalation of salary caps and franchise operating expenses and that how that maybe affects the fans who ultimately, along with, you know, obviously television revenue and radio rights, drive their salaries. How much should that be on their conscience?
Well, I think there's no question it absolutely should be on their conscience. It's something we talk to the guys about all the time. And at the end of the day, like, you know, you're lucky enough, fortunate enough to do something everyone dreams about. You're playing a game for a living, and you also can make an extravagant living, you know, in playing in professional sports. But that's all driven by the fans.
Yeah.
And the fans' ability to reach out and touch you, to build a relationship with you, to follow you in all the ways they can follow you, that all drives revenue that comes back to the players. You know, there's a player's share in the revenue that the league generates through the salary cap. So I think players owe it to the fans to connect with them and to be available and to, you know, make it a partnership with their fans. Because at the end of the day, it all comes back to them. And, you know, life's always got to be a two-way street. If you, you know, everybody wants to be a professional, and they want to make a lot of money, and they want to sign big contracts, but those big contracts are coming from people that are watching the games, paying to go to the games, and you have to be cognizant of that at all times.
He started his enterprise in 1995. It's called Priority Sports and Entertainment out of Chicago, Illinois. He's Mark Bartlestein. He joins us here on Shep, Shower, and Shave. Athletes seem to be putting more and more into their personal brand. Is that with your assistance? Do you have to be part of that as a representative, do you think?
Well, again, it's, you know, it gets back to what I said before, is what's happening in the world today and the way that the fans are able to connect with their favorite athletes and to follow them on social media. And so the players have an opportunity to build their brand literally moment by moment every single day. Every time they post something, they're building their brand. You know, the sponsors out there, the companies that would like to get involved with endorsement opportunities of athletes, they are watching. They're watching the way you interact with the fans and the following that you create and how engaged you are. So those are all things that 20 years ago those conversations didn't take place, 15 years ago those conversations didn't take place. And it continues to evolve. It's created great opportunities for not just the stars of the league. It used to be years ago that the only players you would see, you know, with commercial endeavors would be the superstars.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're seeing players throughout their professional sports that are having opportunities to work with different companies and to market themselves, to be engaged with their fans, because there's so many more opportunities, you know, ways to reach out that previously did not exist.
How much are you in touch with NBA management while your player or your client is participating during the season? The reason I bring that up is because many people in Detroit feel like Anibal Sanchez, a pitcher for the Tigers, recently accepted or was willing and actually encouraged a demotion to AAA so he could get his quote-unquote stuff back, and he wants to be a starting pitcher. Many people believe that it was he and his agent trying to push that through. Is that a slippery slope for you?
Oh, no, I'm in touch with management, coaches on a daily basis. I mean, that's a big part of what we're doing. I think what happens a lot of times, you think in our business that it's all about negotiating a contract.
Right.
And you see the end result when a deal gets done. But really, it's about managing your careers day in and day out, building those careers. If you don't do a great job of doing that, making decisions to help players continue to grow with their game or to improve or to, you know, get a comeback. It's just so many things, whether it's rehabbing from an injury. You've got to manage that every single day. And if you don't do that, they're not going to get to the point where they can negotiate that contract, you know, that they dream of having. So, you know, those conversations are done in collaboration with management, with coaching staff, because at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing. It's helping those players become the best versions of themselves and work collectively, you know, together to make that happen.
So with that said, how do you feel about NBA players resting during the season? I mean, a lot of made of players taking nights off and thus fans not getting their money's worth. Is that a slippery slope as well?
That is a very slippery slope because, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, the fans, again, they're paying the freight. You know, they want to watch their stars play. They may have bought tickets months in advance to bring their kids to a game. And,
yeah.
And it's heartbreaking for those kids to go, and the guy they wanted to go watch LeBron James or Kevin Durant, something he's not playing that night, and that's difficult. On the other hand, again, it's, you know, these guys do take a physical, it's a tremendous physical toll they take in the course of a long season. And, you know, we want to see them healthy. We want to see them in the playoffs. We want to see them at their best. And so it's a balancing act. And I'm not sure what the perfect answer is. I think obviously what Adam Silver's trying to do is stretch the season out a little bit more. And that, and hopefully that will be the answer. So if you were back-to-back, you know, you won't see as many players missing games.
Lastly, I mentioned the NFL players you've represented and continue to represent. Haloti Ngata, for example, Joe Staley, players in the past like Kurt Warner, Arian Foster. How does the NFL work on its consistency, do you think? Get its fines and penalties off the field more in line with what players and their representatives feel? And is there a push for you and people in your business to try and get, quote-unquote, guaranteed contracts for NFL players?
Well, I think the first question, I think it's just consistency. I think in anything, you know, in any business, any walk of life, there obviously has to be discipline. But no one, I don't think anybody opposes discipline and having rules that we all have to live by. I think where there's problems is when you feel like there's inconsistency in how those rules are being applied. So I think that's something that is, and I think for the Player Association, having a seat at the table and being involved and making sure that decisions that are being made are just and fair. So that's something that I know everyone is trying to work toward. In terms of, you know, guaranteed contracts in the NFL, I think that's a little bit of a misnomer. I mean, there are contracts in the NFL are guaranteed. It's just to what percentage they're guaranteed. There is no law, there is no rule that prohibits teams from guaranteeing a contract. It's just because the salary cap is a little bit harder in the NFL, when you make the amount of money you guarantee, you know, it locks you into a position where it can prevent you from doing things in the future if things don't work out well in that decision you made on that guaranteed contract. So you're seeing, you know, higher and higher percentages of NFL contracts become guaranteed. As the salary cap continues to grow, I think that you see the guarantees continue to grow. It's just, you know, it's a little bit of it is the nature of the fact that there's, you know, there's 53 guys on a roster, which when you get through the injured reserve list and everything else, spread of 75 or 80 players on a roster. So there's a lot more players to split that money up with than there is an NBA roster where you've got, you know, 15 players. And so I think that's, as the salary cap grows, as we do things with the next collective bargaining, maybe to loosen up the salary cap, so it's not so hard, you know, hard in nature. There's a little more flexibility with it. Then I think you'll see growth in the guaranteed money.
Do you enjoy working with the NBA or the NFL more as a representative? I'm sure it's a little bit of both, but there's challenges and there's great rewards for both too.
Yeah. So I spend, you know, vast majority of my time here at the NBA. You know, we've got a number of people in our office. My partners that deal with our NFL players to do it. They do a spectacular job. So I'm involved in and oversee it, but I'm not dealing with the nitty gritty as much anymore in the NFL. It's really just the NBA and then, you know, overseeing and advising on the NFL side. It's two totally different businesses. Like I said, the nature of it, the number of players on an NBA roster versus an NFL roster, the replaceability, you know, because there's so many players on the NFL roster, the way players are treated as much different than they are in the NBA, much more transaction-oriented in the NFL than is the NBA. So it's a different, completely different world. They both have unique challenges. But again, from our perspective, it's the same thing. You're trying to really help, you know, young men build long-lasting careers so they can, you know, reach all their goals and financially provide for the families for a long time to come.
And not just in the business that they do, football, basketball, whatever the case, but also after they're done playing. Your assistance helping guys, whether work on the TV side or whatever it may be, is also essential to your work as well, I'm sure. So
yeah, no doubt. You want to, you know, when they're done playing, they're still going to have their whole life ahead of them. So we're very involved in helping them move to that next step of their life. Some of them, as you mentioned, want to go into broadcasting,
yeah. You
know, like Kurt Warner has done. Mm-hmm. Some want to go into coaching. Some want to go into completely different aspects of their life. So we do a lot of things to help prepare them and make that transition so they can hopefully have as much success in the next stage of life as they've had, you know, playing in the NFL or the NBA.
Mark, always learn something when we chat. Thanks for the time. Continued success with you and Priority Sports and Entertainment and the family. Appreciate it. Thanks very much.
My pleasure, Matt. All the best, and look forward to seeing you real soon.
Yeah, I hope we talk soon. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.